What a wonderful lot of notices you have at your church. And I've got an important notice to give out. Jesus is coming soon. It won't be long. Everything points to the fact that we're probably living just before he comes. And the first thing on God's prophetic program is the day the church goes home. And nothing will happen before we've gone. In that great evacuation and meeting in the sky, which is called the rapture. And I don't know how many times through the years people have said, Mr. Passmore, why do you use unbiblical language? The word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, that's right. But then the word Bible is not in the Bible. That's not a Bible word. The scripture speaks of itself, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word Bible doesn't appear, but we know what the Bible is. It's God's word, and the books of the scripture are, St. Jerome called the divine libraries, and so it is. And the word rapture doesn't come, but the event of it is spoken of right throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures. So this morning I thought the Lord would have me to bring a little word of cheer, lots of things to cast us down today, isn't there? We're at the village where I live, near to Blackpool. There's an old man, and I talk to everybody in the village. They all know me. I've lived there over 30 years, and some like me and some don't. So I give out tracts, you see, and talk to them about the Lord, and some smile, morning. They call me Reverend, morning, Reverend Passmore, and others, they cross the road. There's one old boy, I said to him once, Bill, lovely day. He says, about time. See how he thinks. He's a pessimist. Nice day, Bill. About time. And then another time I said, lovely morning, Bill. I won't last. He says, won't last. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not one of them. And friends, if you're miserable, nobody wants you. So you might as well cheer up and make the best of life and get on with life. Well, and the Lord Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. That's a good verse, isn't it? And thank you for having me to be your speaker this morning. I'd rather have sat down and listened to your pastor, me coming to preach this morning, a bit like bringing the snow to the Eskimos. I'd rather have sat down and listened. I've been busy recently, too. The Lord seems to have never had me, Jeff, doing one thing. I think you're the same. And it's lovely to see Jeff this morning and all the friends that I've known over the years. They've been coming a long time, you know. We're sending copies. Jeff mentioned the Gideon book, Good News for Everyone. The big one with all the beautiful pictures? Isn't that a lovely publication? Nicely done. It's just scripture, no preaching in it, just scripture. And I like those. Well, we've been sending, now we've sent 200 copies of that in the Ukrainian language into the army camp at Wokop, which is north of me. And one of the elders at the little assembly where I go when I'm free, he lives right by the gate where the soldiers go in, Ukrainian soldiers. They fly them into Manchester Airport, put them all on buses, all in their fatigues. Do you know some of those lads are only 19 and 20, 21, some of the early 20s. And they're coming to England, they're coming to the camp in Cumbria to learn the guns, American guns they don't think about, and the English guns, and they learn munitions and all. So they've about a week of training. Their chaplain, they would all be Russian Orthodox, but they're fine young men, very, very devoted to their country, and many of them devoted to the Lord. But of course, they need the gospel. We're sending in these magazines, and they're really thrilled with them. In fact, they're sending them home to their wife and the children, sending them home. We've reason to believe from the chaplain that some of those young lads have taken that magazine to the front, where they're blown to bits. See, once they've had their training, they send them home. They go straight to the front, according to the chaplain. Speaks good English. His English is better than my Ukrainian anyway. And he says, it's sad. He says, we get friendly with some of them. They're grand youngsters. We get really friendly. And then a few weeks' time, we get the news. They were blown to bits at the front, fighting the Russians. What a world we live in. But thank the Lord, they're receiving the Word of God. Those lovely magazines. What are they called, Jeff? On the... Yeah, that's the people that send them. But on the front, it's got faith or love or something. Hope, correct. Hope magazines. So we've sent 100, 200. And there's a little lady that is a friend, was of my wife and me. She was in our first church in the city of Plymouth. She's called Janet. And she's had one or two breakdowns through the years. She never married. But she lives in a little tiny village in Cornwall. And she's a good pension. And she says, Alec, I want to give my money to the gospel. And she pays for all these magazines. They cost quite a lot of money. And she pays for them, orders them. She got my address and gets them to send them to me. So how wonderful that the word of God, the gospel, as you were hearing, is going out. Amen. So thank you also for having me as your speaker today. It's a great joy to come. I like to come to Southport where the sun shines all the time. I don't think. Anyway, it's shining this morning. Amen. And lovely to see you. And see that boy, Ethan, he was like that when I used to come first. I don't think I'll pick a fight with him now. He looks a good stiff lad for me. I wonder what his mum gives him for breakfast in the morning. Anyway, he's doing well. Thank you for having me. So let's turn to the Word of God. And I felt the Lord would have me to bring you a word of encouragement. I'd like to talk to you about the signs of the time and the approaching years of the beast. China in prophecy. Very interesting. But I have to take you along a different line. And we're looking at 1 Thessalonians 4. And from verse 13. Passage of scripture which you will know well. Because you've got a faithful Bible teacher for your pastor. Praise the Lord. A lot of churches, they don't turn to the Word of God at all. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, just pause. He's talking about the believers that have died and have gone before, and they've had the funeral, and they're worried about, will they miss the rapture? He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant about this matter, for them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and surely they did, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. A little pause. The Bible teaches us that the body sleeps in the ground. The soul doesn't sleep. But here he talks about those who sleep in Jesus. Their bodies are in the grave until the resurrection morning. The grave, the body goes not really to a grave, but a bed. A grave is the end. But when you go to bed, you'll get up in the morning again, right? And it's like that with the resurrection of the saints. So we're our bodies sleep, not our souls. Those also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, so he didn't think he was going to die before the Lord got back, and remain until the coming of the Lord, the date when he comes, shall not precede them which are asleep. There's going to be a wonderful program here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the archangel, and with the trumpet or the shofar of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Folks, can you imagine that? Every believer who died in the last 2,000 years since the day of Pentecost, who died with his or her faith in the redeeming blood of the cross They will be resurrected first when the Lord comes. They will get the first glimpse of the Lord Jesus. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you imagine that? People whose remains have been in the grave, maybe my remains will have to go to, the Lord hasn't come. As my dear wife, she lies in the grave. We go to visit the dear dust of those we've loved and we've lost for a while. Can you imagine how God is going to raise them from the dead? Paul poses that question in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? It's beyond our sort of understanding, isn't it? I've got to talk to you about the mystery of the rapture in a moment. We which are alive and remain, he means until that date when the Lord comes back, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Praise the Lord, we're going home by air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Once we've gone to be with him, we'll never be parted from him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I'm always glad it doesn't say confuse one another with thee, but comfort one another. Chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, not the rapture, but the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, totally unexpected. For when they, note that, not talking about the saints now, but they, when they shall say, peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you. He's thinking now of the Christians and not of the lost world. Ye are all the children of light and children of the day. We, the believers that will go in the rapture, we are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The Greek Bible, it means be serious-minded. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, talking about the Christians now, the believers who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Here's a good word for you this morning. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. We're not going to be condemned with the world. We deserve to be, yeah. But we've been delivered from. Look what he says. God hath not appointed us to wrath, the believers, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep at the rapture, whether we've been dead and our bodies lie in the ground to be resurrected, or if we're alive and be translated, wherefore, wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Friends, may God bless that lovely reading of his word to us. I don't think I have need to tell you this morning, and it's a joy to come, that the world is speeding to the climax. Even the world. I talk to young people on the street. I'm out on a Saturday and on a Tuesday in the open air meetings, the street meetings. The young people I speak to, they know the world is in trouble. They say, we can't go on like this. Something's going to happen, something big. And they have an innate kind of a hunch that the world is headed for some great crisis that is ahead. Well, amen, the Bible says the same. What that crisis is, they don't know. We know. We've done our homework. Come to a church like this, well, you'll hear the truth about the end times. Thank the Lord. Keep coming. The Lord is coming. You keep coming, right? They don't know what this great coming crisis is, but they know that something's going to happen. They say to me, the world can't go on like this. Our task is to teach them and to tell them. And we've got the answer. Well, not just right. God's given us the answer. Amen? That answer is in his word. The Bible is the only book on earth that will tell us the truth about the destiny of mankind in the end times. It's the only book that'll teach us. And when I go to Romania next month, God willing, again, I was there in the spring. Young people of Romania, they're great. I teach them. This book will keep you from the devil, or the devil will keep you from this book. Up to you. You choose to follow Christ and to love his word. And how wonderful that the Bible gives us, as I've mentioned, the truth about the destiny of the human race in the last days. Our journey from earth to heaven, our final destination, will happen in the twinkling of an eye. 1 second we will be here, and the next second we will be gone. Rather like the Old Testament saint. What was he called? Walked with God. I'm trying to keep you awake. And was not, for God took him. Enoch. Yes. He walked with God and was not, for God took him. One of the boys at Cliff College who was preaching on that, he says, if I had his testimony, I wouldn't be here. Well, that's right. He walked with God. That was good. And suddenly, that's like us. Keep walking with the Lord, and one day we won't be here. Brothers and sisters, you think this, one day we're going to be out of here. We're going to be lifted out. I've used the word evacuation. It is an escape. Not because we deserve to be delivered. We deserve hell. But praise God, my Savior died at the place called Calvary to deliver me from the just punishment of my sin. And we read in verse 9 of the reading, God has not appointed us to wrath. Book of the Revelation chapter 6, the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? We won't be here. We shall be gone. And some think we will go through the great tribulation. Well, God bless them. Some think we'll go through half of the tribulation. I understand, and please, I'm not dogmatic, but some people think that's preachers like me that put the saints through great tribulation. I know that as well. Look in John's Gospel, please, chapter 5. Our great thing is not to hear what a preacher says or what schools of thought say. There are different views, and I know, and I've tried to study them. John chapter 5, please. And we're at verse 28. John chapter 5. Lovely to see you turning over in your Bible. John 5. Okay. And verse 28. Marvel not at this. Jesus is speaking. Red letters in your Bible, perhaps. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Wow. See the people on the streets who say, but you see, Mr. Preacher, when you're dead, you're done for. When I die, it'll be the end. When you're dead, you're done for. What a shock they're going to get, aren't they? All who are in the graves will hear the voice calling them. Just a minute, I don't believe in life after death. The voice will say, next. You come and meet next, please. Out of the graves. And men and women who've lived without God will meet the God they've not believed in. Verse 29, and they shall come forth out of their graves, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. The only good thing I did was to receive his Son, the Lord Jesus, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So that everybody in the world, the unsaved too, will be resurrected, not at the rapture, of course, but at the end of the 1,000 years. Read Revelation chapter 20. The rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. Look in 1 Thessalonians 4 again, folks, please, because I want to teach you a little bit this morning. As I say, I feel unworthy to do this with you in a Bible church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, all right, and verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain, or go on living until that date, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look back over the verse two words in our English Bible, caught up. But only one word in the Greek Bible, the Greek New Testament. And that word, the Greek Bible, which is translated into two words for our English Bible to understand, caught up, is the word harpazo or harpazo. A very interesting Greek word when I studied it. Now here's a good thing that I know that you all agree with. A good thing is to get a word like harpazo or harpazo. Some produce it differently. And find out where else in the New Testament it's used. Comparing scripture with scripture. And then you can tease out the meaning of that word. Got it? So let's have a little Bible study. I won't take long. Into the word harpazo. What does it mean? Turn to John 6 and verse 15. John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 15. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're at verse 15. Just a quick little Bible trail. John chapter 6 and verse 15. When Jesus, therefore, perceived, this was an event in the life of our Lord, Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king. That would be not God's will. He was a king in the future, not at his first coming. But they were going to take him by force to make him a king. He departed again unto a mountain himself alone. What did he do that for? Because the king is yet to come. He came to suffer and to die on the cross. What I want to point you to, friends, is that those words in there, when he saw that they were going to come and take him by force, going to seize him and take him and ungodly make him a king. Take him by force, three words. But in the Greek Bible, harpazo, take him by force. When the saints are raptured, we are caught up. Remember I said, 1 Thessalonians 4, harpazo, it's the same word as take him by force. Interesting, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is coming to seize us, to take us by force. One book I have on the rapture is called The Big Snatch. I wish I'd written that book, but I didn't. Okay, but there you have it. Take him by force. Same word in the Greek Bible. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. We're on just a little Bible study along. John, chapter 10, and please, we're at verse 28. John 10, and verse 28. He's speaking of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27. And I know them, and they know me. I think Pastor Jeff mentioned this verse. How wonderful to be, friends, a sheep of Christ. He's the good shepherd, right? He laid down his life for the sheep, right? And he bought me with his blood. Do you think that a sheep of Christ can ever perish? Think about it. Here he says, and then verse 29, my Father who gave them me is greater than all, that is his sheep. And no man is able to pluck them, snatch them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that wonderful? So we're in the hand of Christ and he's in the Father's hand. We have a double security. And he says, once you belong to me, there won't be any power in heaven or earth that will be able to pluck, snatch, seize you off me. You belong to me. We used to sing, when I was a boy about 100 years ago, they used to sing, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Amen. I'm going to live forever, here or there, and death will interrupt, but will not affect my destiny. My salvation began at the cross. It will survive the grave. And it'll be perfected in heaven. What a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. I spoke to a vicar. Who was it saying that you'd been talking to a vicar? Well, we'd one near us, and I didn't like the things he was saying, and he was smoking a cigarette. Well, I thought, oh, the holy smoke. Well, he was smoking like that as he was going. And I thought, I'm not going to let him get away. I said, dear sir, I didn't say brother. I said, dear sir, are you saved? Oh, yes, 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 of course, but we don't use that language. Oh, Jesus did, and the apostles did. The Bible does. I'm saved. Are you saved? Well, he didn't like me, and he walked on puffing his old fag, so that was it. Well, here we are told that no one will be able to pluck them, snatch them, harpazo, out of my hand. Turn to Acts 23. A little Bible study for you this morning. Acts 23. And we're down that chapter, please, at verse 10. Acts 23 and verse 10. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, no problem. That's okay. Bring it next week, okay? Acts chapter 23, verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain feared lest Paul, who was preaching and causing this great dissension, Paul, they thought they were going to tear him in pieces, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force, look at that, from among them and bring him to the castle for his own safety. Interesting. Take him by force. Four words in our English Bible, one in the Greek Bible. Harpazo. So the rapture will be the Lord taking us by force. Some Bible teachers, and I like them, they've conjectured that perhaps the Lord will have a job to get us to our roots or into this world, you see. Going to have to pull us out, snatch us out, seize us out. Jude, please, verse 23. There's only one chapter, Jude chapter 23. Sorry, verse 23. Jude, verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Here we have a gospel verse that when you lead someone to Christ, is he or she is a brand snatched from the burning, as Wesley said. Snatched out of the fire. Men and women, do you know that's the greatest miracle on earth, the miracle of salvation? Because it changes the destiny forever of a man, a woman. And those that come to Christ are snatched. You'll have to snatch some of them, says Jude. Snatch them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So here we have this lovely word, this arresting word, this unusual word, harpazo, harpazo, snatched, removed, taken from one place suddenly and removed to another place. And the Bible teaches me that that's my future. Soon the whole ransomed church of God will be snatched, seized, taken from this world, and translated without ever dying into the world that is to come. We'll be, as we read, we'll be forever with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, and wouldn't it be grand to go home by air, wouldn't it? Huh? No sickness, no pains, no dying, no funeral, no undertaker. Perhaps you heard me tell before, I was preaching some years ago in the church, and the pastor, he seemed pleased to have me. So at the door, I said goodbye to everyone, like this morning. Thank you for coming. Goodbye. Thank you for coming to church. There was a really rude man, brushed past me. He wouldn't speak to me. Very rude. I says, the pastor, who's that rude man? He says, he's the undertaker. he thought I was having a go at him. And friends, but how wonderful to go home by air. No sickness, no sadness, no death, and no dying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory. One lady said, Mr. Passmore, we'll leave behind, you've been teaching us, we may not get to it this morning, that we shall leave behind this body, yes, and have a new body. The dead in Christ, their dear dust lies in the grave, they'll be resurrected first, and then we shall be caught right up on their heels, and we shall leave behind these bodies of clay. And she says, do you think that all the wooden legs and false teeth will be coming back down out of the sky? We'll be caught up and we're going to get a new body here, and we'll all have glass eyes and all. Some people, they do bring some things up at the door for the preacher. Friends, I don't know. I leave the details to the Lord. All I know is that when we see him, we shall be like him with a new body. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15 again, what a chapter that is. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I can't live forever with Christ in this body. Why not? Why not? Because it has in it the aging process. I cheer you all up this morning. You do know, don't you, that you began to die the day you were born. You know that. It's written into the genetics of the human race. And secularism has no answer for that, why we die. We do. Goes back to Adam. As in Adam, all die. But how wonderful that we're going to have a brand new body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we're going to have a beautiful new body. What will it look like? How are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? What a question. What will it be like? Can you imagine it? With how is God going to do it, and with what body do we come? Friends, I don't know, but I've got a great future, because God says in here he's going to do it, and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord. Now, I'm going to bring my thoughts this morning to a close. Turn to John 11, if you will. John's Gospel, chapter 11. And we're at verse 38. John 11, verse 38. You'll know that John 11 is the resurrection chapter to do with Lazarus. And he's been to be raised from the dead. John 11, please. And we are at verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, you remember this, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Oh my. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand, I said it, that they may believe thou hast sent me. And when he had said thus, spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, Lazarus, come out, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Can you imagine this? His face bound about with a napkin. We still do that to the dear dead, for the reasons of modesty, to close the mouth. Jesus said unto him, loose him. Let him go. Now then, I want you to listen carefully. We imagine, I do, that at the rapture, when the Lord opens the grave of all the believers, the rest of the people in the graveyard will sleep on until the end of the 1,000 years I mentioned to you. But we imagine, when the Lord raises the dead, gravestones will be toppled, and great clumps of earth and grass will be flowing. The graves will be open. Well, I don't think it may be like that. He came forth bound hand and foot. But listen, Lazarus was merely restored to the life status he had before he died, right? Poor Lazarus, he had to go on to die again. He had to die twice. He died, Jesus resurrected him, And then he went on to die again. So he was resurrected to the life status he had before, rather like we have today, sitting here in an aging body. But when the Lord Jesus rose again, there were no grave clothes to be taken. One day we shall be taken up in a glorified body. And I'd like you to turn, please, to John 20. My closing scripture, John chapter 20. I hope you're enjoying my little Bible study. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week, you know this, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Jesus was crucified and buried in that tomb. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down looked in and saw the linen clothes lying. So Jesus wasn't there, but the linen clothes were lying there. Yet went she not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him. He went into the sepulchre and saw the linen clothes lie. Follow carefully. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Huh. Why did the Holy Spirit include a detail like that in the record of the resurrection of Jesus? The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the ladies in. When they got in there, Jesus had gone, praise the Lord, resurrected, gone back to the Father. But the Bible says his clothes lay there where he'd been. And the napkin that was about his head was laying on its own, as if it had just fallen off the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus' resurrection was not like the resurrection of Lazarus. He was raised to the usual life status he had before. But when in Revelation chapter 1, John the Revelator met the Lord Jesus, and I trust we've all met him this morning, he said to him, the Lord Jesus said to him, I am he who was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. I'll say, who people say to me, are you judging us? No, 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 sir, that's God's work. I have the keys of death and hell. When the Lord Jesus rose from the grave, they didn't have to say, take the grave clothes off him, or around his head, around his jaw, as they'd laid him in the tomb dead. Dead, he was dead. They didn't expect to see him alive. They brought incense and ointment for his body. But his clothes and the detail, even the napkin from his head, was laid exactly where it had been left. So the Lord Jesus was miraculously resurrected. And when we are taken, we think of the gravestones toppling and all that. I don't think it'll be like that. All I know is, like the Lord Jesus, we shall go. The hymn says, made like him we rise. Ours the grave, the cross, the skies. Hallelujah. That's a great resurrection hymn. So friends, it's going to happen. One day soon, the Lord will come. With what body do they come? And with how are the dead risen? With what body do they come? Friends, it's a mystery, but it's going to happen. We leave the details with the Lord. But Christians are going to live forever. Here or there, we're going to live forever. I have eternal life. I shall never perish. No one will ever be able to harpazo, snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Folks, what a wonderful salvation is ours. Eternally safe in the hand of the shepherd, right? No one will be able to seize them, harpazo them from my hand. Thank you so much, friends, for listening. I've tried to cheer you up. I hope I've cheered you up a little bit. And I hope you enjoyed my little Bible study. I've been up all night getting this ready for you, so.